Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get started with a prayer. Lord God, grant us the ability to serve you today and to do what you would have us to do in any situation. Allow this program to serve as a light to someone in need of a blessing from you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's so good to be with you again this morning. I'm an author, and I write inspirational books. You can get a copy of my most recent book, Heaven Can't Wait, by visiting the website williamporterlife.com or by going directly to amazon.com. We always start our show with a word of inspiration. Today's word comes from a quotation that I recently found over the internet. And here it is. What you think, you become. What you feel, you attract. What you imagine, you create. Now let's talk about this week's story. The story today is the first in a series of shows about a young lady who grew up in a Midwestern town, then went to the bright lights of a large city to find her heaven on earth, you might say. This story is the first of many that you will hear in the next few weeks that come from my second book, Heaven Can't Wait. Be sure to tune in and follow the characters to see if they achieve this heaven on earth that they desire. Let's take a break, and I'll be back with our story. Welcome back. Maggie, the lead character in this story, relished the thought of relaxing in her favorite recliner prior to her husband John arriving at about 6. She has been married to the Reverend John James Jr., pastor of Faith Church in Detroit, for almost a year now. When Maggie arrived home, she sat in her recliner and attempted to watch a little TV, but soon she drifted off into the quiet abyss of sleep. But she slept only for a little while. Around 7 o'clock, she awakened. A short dream she had brought back a flood of memories about her early childhood. She recalled how that time helped to shape her future and face life's challenges. Those memories led her to think back on her life since then. The particular thing she thought about was her time in high school and in college. One image that came to mind was so vivid it seemed like it happened yesterday, even though it had occurred years ago when she was a child. It was a weather event that shook the whole city. Maggie recalled what was referred to as a remnant of Hurricane Hazel, a very destructive storm that affected much of the eastern part of the United States in the early 1950s. While areas along the East Coast were hardest hit, there were residual winds and rain on the edge of the system. Many regions further west, like in southern Michigan where Maggie grew up, were in the path of these residual winds and received almost as much damage as those areas struck directly by the storm further east. Flint, Maggie's hometown, was one of the places that was hit very hard, with very damaging winds and rain. School was closed that day because a storm was in the forecast. At that time, Maggie's parents and siblings lived in a two-story apartment. But just before the highest intensity of the storm hit, Matthew Downs, Maggie's father, led the family out of the apartment to an area where there was a stairway inside the building, a building that contained several apartment units. "Come on, everybody. Let's head out of here," Matthew said to his family gathered in the apartment. "I know it's home, but let's get out of this place and go out into the stairwell and sit there till the weather get better, until the storm is over at least." He continued to urge them and say to them. The storm became most intense at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. An eerie shade of deep gray sky obscured all view of the sun and cast a huge shadow over the whole area. Amidst the dark gray sky was the glow of headlights from the few vehicles on the road at that time. A windy, rainy mist more suitable to a winter afternoon blanketed the sky. Gusting winds made conditions treacherous for those brave enough to be outside. Maggie's family just sat there in the stairwell, looking through the glass door and windows in front of the building where they could view the destruction of the storm. Maggie remembered gazing outside and seeing a tin roof lifted and blown off the top of a structure. In another instance, while it was still light enough to see outside, she saw a person walking and trying to navigate the windy, rainy conditions. With the bad weather, Maggie thought that it was a security officer patrolling the area. She recalled that the man's umbrella was turned inside out by the crushing wind. His raincoat appeared to be flying high behind him as he walked. Later that night, the wind had abated significantly, and the rain had not been as heavy as it was before. The kids returned to their apartment when their parents felt that it was safe enough. We'll be right back after a short break. Welcome back. Once all the family members were back inside the apartment, they realized why Matthew had led them out in the first place. In the stairwell, where they went to weather the storm, they were farther away from the windows than they would have been in their apartment, where the windows were too close for comfort in those close living quarters, at least too close to weather the high velocity of the wind from Hazel. The major intensity of the storm had passed when the family returned to their apartment, and when they did, they found that the windows had been shattered, and much of the wall had been heavily damaged as well, as a result of its exposure to the wind and the rain. Because of all the mess, Matthew said to everyone, "Okay, now, you all have lots of work to do." Thanks to his precautions, they all were safe during the storm as he led them out of the apartment into that stairwell within the building. As the weeks passed after the storm, things gradually returned to normal in the Downs household. The family usually would have lively discussions well up into the night. Their father also was a jokester and loved telling funny stories to anyone willing to listen. One weekend, Matthew and his wife, Mincy, took Maggie and her siblings to their grandparents' house. This was on a Friday. After eating dinner prepared by Maggie's grandmother, the next day, Matthew decided to be funny. He wanted to tell a joke, and he wanted everybody to listen. Well, they were at the dinner table, and he told a joke about someone he referred to as a distant relative. "Hey, everyone, I have a story to tell you," he said to them. Sadie, Maggie's younger sister, wanted so much to leave at this point. But like the other siblings, she was very respectful to her father and often reluctantly sat through the jokes that he told. On that evening, with everyone's stomach full from the meal that Maggie's grandmother had prepared, Matthew said to them, "Listen, everybody. Now here's the joke. And again, I want you to listen. An old man visits his doctor, and after thorough examination, the doctor tells him, 'I have some good news and some bad news. What would you like to hear first?' The patient replies, 'Well, give me the bad news first.' To that, the doctor says, 'You have a case of severe acute anemia, a terminal disease, and I estimate that you have about 2 years left.' 'Oh no,' says the patient. 'That's awful. In 2 years, my life will be over. What kind of good news could you possibly tell me after this?' The doctor answers, 'You also have Alzheimer's. In about 3 months, you're going to forget everything that I told you.'" Everyone just laughed and laughed. They were laughing so hard at the joke Matthew had told. That is, everyone but Sadie. Sadie was different from her siblings in that she was more openly sensitive to older people's concerns and issues, such as dealing with an illness. Because of this attitude, she didn't particularly care for the joke, but even she conjured up a little smile. Be that as it may, after that, everyone headed to their bedrooms for the night and made preparations to return home the next day. Let's take a short break, and I'll return to finish today's story. Welcome back. Now, being married to her childhood friend, or you might say to her childhood sweetheart, Maggie waited on John to arrive home from the office, as she often did. But this time it was a little different, because it was much later than when he usually arrived home. While waiting for her husband, she took more time to think about her childhood, and especially later in her life, after she had taken off to college. Maggie thought about her future with the perfect mate. But did she feel that John was that perfect mate? Before her marriage to him, Maggie often fantasized that she would marry someone who would make her life a kind of heaven on earth. Did John fit that description she desired? Maggie wondered about this often. Well, you'll have to wait until the next show to begin to sort out the answers to this question. Let's take another short break, and I'll be back for some closing comments. Welcome back. Our special story scripture today comes from Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. This scripture states, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." The desire that Maggie had as she waited for her husband to come home was to have a perfect marriage. But at that time, her life with husband John was anything but perfect. In fact, the marriage did not reflect the desire that she longed for him to love and be true to her. Maggie often wondered about John's faithfulness to her, and coming home late that night just confirmed those thoughts. But strangely enough, those were not her only thoughts. She also thought about the man of her dreams. Was that man her husband, or was it someone else? She pondered. Maggie, having thoughts like this, said volumes about the state of her marriage to John. We'll find out in future shows the identity of this man of her dreams, whether it was John or someone else. In the end, Maggie simply wanted to be happy. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. We're going to end with our virtual song of the week. Have a good week, and we'll see you right back here the next time. And remember, there's always more good things coming your way. You only have to believe it.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works if
you wanna be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy?
Yeah.
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same.
you've been there too long.
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
I feel this one right here.
It's so easy to complain. Addicted to the pain.
Yes.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But I got good news for you.
Jesus knows.
If you're tired of you, then say,
I just wanna be happy.
Now, if you really mean that, open up your heart and say,
let me hear you say, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're tired of going in circles,
let me hear you say, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Tired of making the same mistakes,
let me hear you say, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, now's your chance.
Let me hear you say, yeah,
say, yeah,
yeah.
Are you ready? Come on!
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel.
What are you doing?
He knows the road that you need to take.
It's so easy to complain.
It's so easy to complain.
Come on!
Addicted to the pain.
Yeah.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But somebody that'll never leave you.
Jesus knows just how you feel.
Yes, sir. Question is,
do you want to be happy?
Took a long time, but I'm ready.
I just want to be happy.
Thank you, Lord. Every day, ask yourself,
do you want to be happy?
Yes. Pull over. Let him drive.
I just want to be happy.